Anime Declassified is a podcast run by the Anime Secrets website. Check us out at animesecrets.org for more anime, video game, tokusatsu content. Remember to follow us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, or wherever you listen to podcasts today.
Hello, guys. Thank you so much for checking out today's podcast. Just as a brief warning, we will be discussing spoilers for both the Yu Yu Hakusho Netflix live action, the Yu Yu Hakusho manga and anime. So if you are ongoing with those and don't want to be spoiled, this is your warning. As a courtesy, we want to give that to you guys. That way we don't blindside you with spoilers if you're continuing to watch. Thank you guys so much once again for watching today's episode, and hope you guys have a great day. Hello and welcome everyone to another episode of the Anime Declassified Podcast, where today we will be looking and talking about the latest Netflix anime live action adaptation, Yu Yu Hakusho. Joining me on this episode today will be Head Chief Rizwan.
Hey guys, how's it going?
Going well, going well. Nice winter season for sure. This adaptation of Yu Yu Hakusho is produced by Robot Communications Inc., who have done other various live action anime adaptations such as March Comes In Like a Lion, Assassination Classroom, and among others, and actually helped out on the most recently and critically acclaimed Godzilla Minus One with Toho. Riz, well, let's talk about it.
Yeah.
When they were announcing another live action anime adaptation from Netflix, what was your initial reaction?
Well, okay, so let's back this up a little bit. So my last live action that I watched on Netflix that was an anime adaptation was actually the Death Note movie with you and Kara and a couple of other people many years ago. And so that left a bad taste in my mouth. I know One Piece got some stellar reviews. I've heard Bleach did pretty well.
The Bleach movie sucked too, man. Don't let the reviews fool you.
I haven't seen it. I know nothing about it. I don't even know much about Bleach to begin with. I've never watched the anime growing up, but
that's shocking.
I couldn't do it. It was too long. I think my limit for how long of an anime I could go for is like Yu Yu Hakusho length, like 112 episodes long. So whenever I first heard about a Yu Yu Hakusho adaptation last year being end of 2022, early 2023, mm-hmm. because we are recording this in a new year, so happy New Year's to everyone, first of all. I was kind of skeptical because I didn't think it would do well, and then it fell off my radar entirely, Miguel, until the day after it premiered on Netflix and everyone started talking. I was like, oh wait, mm-hmm. I remember this being a thing. I'm gonna go check it out. So yeah. I walked in with very low expectations.
Yeah, for me, I also didn't have much expectations from it. You know, people are always saying like, well, it's being done in Japan, like it can't be, it'll be at least somewhat better, right? And I'm like, yeah, Japan isn't as good as making the live action adaptations as people think as well. It's like saying just because a comic book movie is being made in America, it's going to turn out well. We know that that is not the case.
No.
And you know, after the Cowboy Bebop adaptation, I was like, I didn't have the highest of hopes. Like the Cowboy Bebop adaptation absolutely blew chunks. it was bad. And that was like the easiest adaptation to do because it's like the most Western friendly anime that's ever been made. And they somehow butchered that. But
yeah, I don't know. Did you watch the entirety of Bebop or did you stop like me?
I forced myself to try to watch it all, and it somehow just kept getting worse and worse and worse. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, these people did not understand these characters at all, which is the one thing I'll give the One Piece adaptation. I haven't finished that one yet. I'm on episode 4. But it's because we're doing this as like a big friend group watch with my other friend group. And, you know, while it's not perfect either, because it kind of suffers a problem that, spoilers, this show also suffers from. You know what? At least they like got the characters better and didn't treat the source material as like trash.
Yeah.
So I'm like, well, maybe it'll be the same thing with this one. And, you know, after the first episode, I was like, okay, you know what? We've got a pretty solid base here. Let's see how it goes. And of course, I'm talking the first episode of Yu Yu Hakusho.
Yeah.
And so, you know, let's kind of get started talking about it. Like, you know, after you finish the whole thing, I guess, like, what were your overall impressions so far? Or not so far?
I want to actually go back in time a little bit here, Miguel. So I know Yu Yu Hakusho is very popular when we were growing up.
Mm-hmm.
But did you watch the anime growing up? And were you a fan of it? What were your general thoughts of the anime, first of all?
Well, the anime is... God. It's like always changing in terms of like placings. But for me, it's still probably like one of my all-time favorite shows.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's like a lot of history we have with it, you know, our shared history for how long we've known each other, and you know, within our friend group back in our old forum days, like that was one of the most popular ones, you know.
Yeah.
And so for me, this, it's a show that I really, really love. You know, I'm currently doing a rewatch of it with a few other friends, one who has not seen it ever.
Oh, wow. I don't think they existed still.
Right. And so it's like, well, so for me, it's like a show that like I personally love a lot. You know, it's always like my answer of like what my favorite anime is always changing. But this one is, but Yu Yu Hakusho is one that, you know, I usually answer with because it just has about everything that I love. You know, good animation for the 90s. Like, you know, the anime is like close to 30 years or probably hit the 30-year mark like 1 or 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So for a show that's like 30 years, there's still some animation fights in there that are like absolutely stellar. You know, the dub is like probably one of the best dubs that's ever been made. You know, the characters are phenomenal in there, seeing their growth from like when they get introduced to where they are at the end of the series. Like, it's an amazing journey that you go through. And then, you know, the music, like, there's just a lot to heap praise on the show.
Yeah, no, definitely. And that's been my experience too. Like you, Miguel, when I watched Yu Yu Hakusho, I was, you know, the Toonami era. And
this was Adult Swim era for me, baby. It was an Adult Swim before Toonami.
Was it? Oh, yeah. God. Okay, that's where I started then. Whatever was first airing is when I first saw it.
Yeah, because I remember when they moved it over to Toonami, I was like, oh, yeah, they are cutting down on like the swearing, the blood, like.
Yeah.
But that's how they were able to get like more episodes made, because on the Adult Swim era, they would only get up to the Saint Beast arc, and then they would start from the beginning.
Yeah.
But once they moved over to Toonami, that's when they were able to get the rest of the show going, and then they had to move it back to Adult Swim during Chapter Black arc, because there's only so much editing you can do, and no amount of editing was going to make Chapter Black suitable for the 6 to 13-year-olds that are trying to appeal on Toonami.
Yeah, no, that was not going to happen. That was a futile effort. But yeah, no, so, you know, back when Adult Swim was first airing, I watched it. Me and my best friend growing up from like childhood, even like today, we're best friends. And that's one of our shared bonds we have. Dragon Ball Z, Yu Yu Hakusho, were the two things that we bonded on the most growing up. And it's always held a special place in my heart because, in my opinion, Yu Yu Hakusho's fight scenes that they have throughout are still some of the best fight scenes across anime, even today. Mm-hmm. In my opinion, I think, you know, there's some stuff that comes close to it, and there's some stuff that exceeds it. Looking at Yuzo's Bizarre Adventure, but now this is some really good, tight fight scenes. I mean, Dragon Ball Z had some good stuff, but I think Yu Yu Hakusho blew it out of the water every day.
I don't know if it blew all of them out, but there's, like, once you get into, like, in the middle of Yu Yu Hakusho, so talking about, like, your Dark Tournament and your Chapter Black, the fights are very, very well animated.
Yeah.
So, you know, I agree with you there. Like, I think I always did prefer Yu Yu Hakusho over Dragon Ball Z.
Yeah.
Not so much because of the fight, but I think the fights, but just because the characters, like, were better. But, you know, they're still great, great shows and, you know, fantastic action, like, for sure.
Absolutely. But to answer your question from earlier, my impressions of the live action on a whole.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so if you're in the Anime Secrets Discord, you will know I fanboyed hard on episodes 1 and 2. And due to personal stuff, I couldn't watch anything until a couple of days ago after episode 2. Like, I watched episode 1 and 2 mm-hmm. almost day 1 of when I found out it was out. And I waited almost 3 or 4 weeks to watch 3, 4, and 5.
Mm-hmm.
So when I first finished everything, I had a lot of hype. I was on that high of, oh my god, this is so great. There's so many things that are amazing about it. And I still think, Miguel, that the live action that we got here is pretty dang amazing. But I do have to say, there were a couple of things that I wish we had done differently. And some of it deals with character development, other parts would deal with pacing, but definitely we'll delve into that more as we get into this podcast.
Right. For me, my impressions after I came out from it were, like, the people who were in charge of the fight choreography and everything, like, they were on. Like, I didn't know how well they could translate some of the fights into live action. But with what they did, it was, like, really impressive. It reminded me a lot of, like, I don't want to say, like, John Wick style, but a lot of, like, Hong Kong kind of cinema style. I feel like there really wasn't too much visual effects. Where there were, it's kind of noticeable. It is a Netflix show. But this production company, the effects that they did were still, like, pretty good. And the fight sequences, like, were really tightly choreographed, you know, ranging from, like, the human fights to some of the demon fights to the fights at the end. I thought they were, like, really good and engaging and entertaining throughout. And if there's, like, one big positive that I can take from it, it's, like, dude, the fights were really good.
Yeah. No, definitely, like, it was really beautiful to watch. I mean, just stellar, and not animation, but, like, special effects and choreography. I thought it was pretty awesome.
Mm-hmm. Like, for me, like, one of the more standout fights was actually the fight that he had against Goki in the second episode, where he's, like, where Yusuke's just constantly avoiding getting hit by this giant red ogre, going into cars, hiding in them,
yeah,
using the doors as a shield. Like, that was really good stuff.
Yes, no, definitely. That was a great fight scene. I also greatly enjoyed Kurama versus, I forget his character's name. Karasu, thank you. I thought that was a pretty fun fight scene as well.
That was good. I was, like, surprised, like, they didn't go super over the top in the Hiei versus Wii fight like they did in the anime, but, like, for scaling it down, that was still really good.
Yeah.
You know, the axe felt like it had weight to it. Like, it didn't look like a, well, it looked ridiculous, but, you know, the axe is supposed to look ridiculous, but it didn't look like it was like a styrofoam prop, you know? Like, it looked like if that thing hits you, your body's just, like, not going to be there anymore.
No, definitely, yeah.
So there was, like, really cool stuff like that, or really, really good stuff like that that was in there. You know, I think... I'm trying to think of some of the other ones that went on. Yusuke and Hiei fights were both really good.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, just the action in general, like... was really top notch. Yeah. And you know, I can't say anything negative about that. I thought it was really good.
No, definitely I agree with that. I do think that this has potential to be a great, like, to get a season 2, we'd have great continuity here with, in terms of like whoever made this at Netflix knew how to do fight scenes and choreography and special effects to make it look really good. And I have some confidence back in Netflix's capabilities now.
Yeah. Especially if they work with this company again, which I believe they will. Netflix struck a deal with Toho Productions, and Robot, who basically worked on this one, is basically is a studio that Toho owns. And this was the project that Netflix entrusted onto them. And I believe they have like one more project with them. I don't know how big the deal was, but it was made because Netflix and Toho have a partnership going on.
Yeah.
And so this was the first of, I want to say it was like 2 or 3 projects that they've got lined up to do. I think in terms of fight choreography, yeah, these guys know what they're doing.
But yeah.
Now, for some of the viewers out there who are listening to this, and, you know, if you've seen Yu Yu Hakusho, we mentioned some names, right? And, you know, in the show, wait, that seems like it's a very deep in. How many episodes is the Netflix Yu Yu Hakusho?
5.
How many episodes?
It is 5 episodes long. Each episode runs between, 45 minutes to an hour long each.
And now you may be thinking to yourself, wait, did they really condense the Spirit Detective arc, did they really put the 3 objects, or the object retrieval, Genkai tournament, Rescue Yukina, Saint Beast arc, and Dark Tournament condensed, you know, something that's 60 episodes into 5? And yeah. I'm going to say no, because we don't have the Dark, or we don't have the Saint Beast in here. But they did condense the other ones into there. Like, we have a small shout out to, there's like 2 cameo appearances from things from the Saint Beast that appear in the show. The first one is like the mosquitoes that Suzaku is going to send out to the spirit world. One of those escapes. And, you know, is kind of like the villain of the first episode. And then we have the tiger beast that Byakko used as like some of the captured demons that Sakio has in his compound. That's about all they get shut out.
Yeah.
But yeah.
They condensed a lot of stuff though beyond that. Like, you're right. They didn't bring up too much of the Saint Beast stuff, and that I'm thinking back on it.
Nothing. Except like those two basically blink and you miss it cameos.
Yeah. But they didn't, they still have potential to use the Black Saga and the Three Kings Saga later. Like for a season 2 type thing, if they were to ever come back.
Right. Well, that's the problem. Like, I didn't know if they knew they were going to get a season 2, which is why they condensed it. And that's where most of the issues with the show, well, I don't know how the dub is, because I watched this subbed.
So fun fact about my watching.
Mm-hmm.
I watched the first 2 episodes, and I took that little break, like I mentioned. In the time I had been watching, one of the voice actors that I'm familiar with in the anime and cartoon world, Zenny Kwan, had posted a little reel on Instagram, and it showed that she had done some work on Yu Yu Hakusho, and I was like, hold up. Jenny Kwan is in Yu Yu Hakusho, but I didn't see her in it. So it took me a little while to realize that she was the dub actress for Keiko and not like a live action actress that, like I thought she was originally. Now, if you're thinking, Jenny Kwan, who is that? Well, she played Suki in Avatar The Last Airbender, and she was Sun-Li in Street Fighter VI.
Okay.
And I met her last year at Anime Houston, along with two of her other co-stars from the Avatar series. Really sweet lady, love her work. And so I watched a little bit of it in the dub, just to kind of hear her. Like, whenever I saw Keiko on screen, I would switch over to dub just to kind of see her work, you know. The parts of the dub I did see, I'm not gonna say I saw all of the dub, but what I did see, I liked.
Mm-hmm.
So, no, I think they did pretty well on the dubbing here too.
Okay, yeah, because I was watching it sub, so just to kind of get like, to try not to be disturbed by, you know, something like the voice is not matching, you know, the mouth movement, you know, just to watch, watch it authentically. And so I can't comment whether the dub was good or not. So that's not going to be one of the issues I'm going to bring up, because I don't watch it like that. But I think for me, kind of the biggest, the thing that kind of stops this from being like really good, really, or to even great, is just like, so many things get rushed. So many moments don't happen. So many things don't feel like they're earned. That takes away from a lot of the standout moments that the anime had. Like, I know this isn't going to be a one-to-one adaptation, and I'm fine with that. You know, I'm even fine with, you know, how they condense some things, like how they condensed, you know, Yusuke's death and revival in one episode. That was well done.
Yeah.
How they condense the retrieval, the three artifact retrievals. I thought that was actually really well done as well. I'm like, okay, yeah, you can cut like five, six episodes into like 1 hour long one.
Yeah.
But in doing so, they've like rushed a lot of things, you know, or they don't spend too much time on stuff. You know, for example, some of the things that are done while Yusuke's like waiting to be revived in the anime is they show you kind of Koolbara's character and, you know, dedicate a whole episode on that. Whereas in the TV show, you get like mere glimpses into it. And
to me, it feels like the Netflix live action adaptation almost requires you to have watched the anime growing up to know these characters from there, so you can infer stuff in this. Because the only reason I could feel like this Koobara was Koobara is because I grew up with the character in the anime form.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I see him doing the things that he's doing, it's like, oh, that's typical Koobara. But if you've never seen the anime and this is your first time watching it, yeah, you can probably figure it out after a little bit, but it doesn't feel as well developed. And this is, Koobara is probably my least concern when it comes to character development in terms of like things that I wish they had done more with. Hiei, I feel like he got robbed a lot in terms of character development and time on the screen and just fleshing him out.
Yes, and mainly yes, but there's some things that I'm happy that the TV show did compared to the anime and the manga, because like Hiei's first appearance compared to when he appears next, they might as well be two different characters. Because he was reworked from, you know, petty, ruthless thief to honor demon. You know, he still talked a lot of smack.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I'm trying to watch my language because I'm like trying to remember what the allowed swear words are, but like, smack talker, you know, doesn't really concern himself with people who are weaker than him, but you know, he's not like without mercy or stuff like that in his second appearance compared to like his first one where he's like using every dirty tactic there is against Yusuke. You know, so I'm glad they just washed that part out and just went straight to how he is. But you're right, like we don't see much of his development throughout. You know, yeah. We don't see, you know, the little bit of compassion or mercy, you know, that we see like in the Saint Beast arc. We don't see his development. And one of the best things that stood out about the anime was the group dynamic between Yusuke, Kobara, Hiei, and Kurama.
Yeah.
They don't meet up as a group until fourth episode.
Mm-hmm. Well,
end of the third episode and going into the fourth one. So, like, we don't even spend the majority of the time. Yeah, because the third episode was basically the Genkai training.
Yeah. No, and that's part of my complaint is Hiei, like, we have to infer, because I don't think they outright say it until much later, close to the end, that Hiei and Yukina are related.
Right.
Like, that doesn't come out. And if it does come out, like, earlier, it's not like, there's no weight to it, right? Like, Hiei knows that they're related. Yukina may not know, but you don't see Hiei feel anything when she's under attack or when she's in danger. It's more of a, okay, I have to go do this to save her, but there's no emotion behind it like we got in the anime.
Right, and, you know, it goes back to your earlier point that the live action, you know, expects the people who are going to be watching this are people who are fans of the original anime.
Yeah.
And so, like, you know why he's doing it. It's like, oh, okay, so this is how he's going to go rescue Yukina now, but you know, if you're a new watcher, you're like, why is he doing this? Like, you know, is he in love with this person? Did they do something that, like, it doesn't explain it. And again, part of like the plot constraints, because they explain that she's Hiei's sister to everyone when the Rescue Yukina arc starts. And they're like, yeah, this is where she's at. And you have to go rescue her before Hiei goes and slaughters every human there.
Yeah.
So they kind of, again, like, in not rushing it out, but trying to get, like, all the most memorable beats out, they skip out on so much. And like you said, like, Hiei gets, like, very little screen time compared to everyone else.
Yeah, because Kurama, we got a good feel for him. I mean, I think next to Yusuke, he's the most developed character we have.
Which isn't really saying a whole lot, unfortunately, this adaptation.
Kuwabara, like I said earlier, you have to infer a lot of his personality and his, like, motivation from the anime.
Mm-hmm.
Yusuke, you know his motivation and his, like, character from just him being the main protagonist. But we go into a lot of detail on Kurama and his mother, and that was really appreciated.
Mm-hmm.
But man, I wish we could have gotten some similar type of development for Kuwabara, for Botan, for Hiei.
Well, and the other thing that surprised me was, like, actually how little Botan was in this.
Or what she even did. Like, she didn't really do a lot. She kind of just stood there and watched him at Genkai's place.
Mm-hmm.
And she occasionally came in and talked to Yusuke, but she wasn't truly involved.
Right. And again, it's just one of the, like, when you said, like, oh man, I loved it, I enjoyed it, it was all this, I was shocked, because I'm like, Riz, dude, they're just speed running through everything. Like, there was very little character development. Like, another kind of thing that I'm just like, okay, this just feels so rushed is during the Genkai training in episode 3, you know, there is a good amount of episodes spent showing how Yusuke's and Genkai's student-teacher relationship was going on, was developing in the anime, which made, you know, when she ultimately gets killed by Toguro. I'm sorry, I don't know if we mentioned this at the beginning. We're going to be discussing heavy spoilers for both the anime and the live action.
We'll put a disclaimer at the beginning.
We'll put a disclaimer at the beginning that we're going to be we're going to be spoiling stuff. So like, if you're someone who wants to watch the anime after seeing like the live action adaptation, you know, probably maybe skip a little bit, because we're going to be talking heavily about the spoiler, about spoilers, about the events that happen. But it's just like, Genkai's death is one of the more emotional, emotional moments in the original manga and anime. And, you know, in this live action, just gets brushed over. Like, just, it just happens. There's like no emotional feeling. There's no dread. There's just like, oh yeah, she's dead now.
To that point, I mean, just to give you an idea of how well this episode was done, I used to be part of my university's anime club in undergrad, and they did like theme nights. Every week was a different theme. Well, our president at one point said, I want to do a tear night where we just are sobbing in Kleenex the entire night. So we had to put up a bunch of like different depressing episodes. And this was one of them. When Genkai died, that was one of the episodes that we had to air because of how impactful it was and how, you know, devastating it could be watching it. So yeah, definitely this was a lot of emotion, a lot of high strung emotion that was going on in the anime that, you know, we get a little bit, like, Yusuke kind of reacts to the fact that Genkai has been killed, but I don't think the impact is felt as much by us, the fan, because it's only been, like, 20, 30 minutes since we saw them together, you know?
Right, and, you know, in also in conjunction with Genkai's death, one of the more intense moments in the anime is when she passes the spirit orb over to Yusuke, and we are seeing him just absolutely struggle, like, in immense amounts of pain to master this power.
Yeah.
You know, where he's just like wailing, like it like gets uncomfortable after a while, because it's like, is he gonna like die from this? Is he gonna do it? And when Genkai goes to retrieve it, like, you see Yusuke's defiance, like, yeah, I'm going through it, but don't you take this away from me. And he just keeps going. And then, you know, the moment where he finally masters it, because, you know, he's like learning the fight, not to get stronger, not to beat up a guy that's tougher than him, but like learning to, this is where, like, I have to protect people. You know, I have to defend them. I have to do this. You know, when Pooh... Also, another thing they cut out entirely.
His little what?
Pooh.
Oh my god, you're right. Oh yeah. Man, I forgot about that.
You know, when he's like...
I haven't watched this anime in like a decade and a half.
Right? When he goes over there to try to help Yusuke, you know, they're about to die from a collapsed cave. Yusuke just like toughs it out and masters it, like... You know, you compare that to, here you go, take it. Yusuke's like, all right, bet, I have it. Let me shoot something in the sky.
Well, and the problem is, I have a problem with Yusuke's power creep in the entirety of this live action. So, you know, Yusuke dies, he comes back, and dude, he struggled for a whole episode to fire one spirit gun round, right? Like, he couldn't do it. And, you know, I mean, he got a little bit better. He was using it more reliably against Hiei. And, you know, he definitely did struggle with Genkai training to keep himself on the needle. But the pace at which he mastered the spirit wave, that was a power creep that I wasn't expecting.
Right.
Like, I was hoping that he wouldn't get the spirit wave until the next season. And I mean, there's other things I wish we hadn't seen until the next season, but looking at you, Yoko Kurama.
Oh, dude, that's another thing we're going to be, we'll talk about here shortly.
We'll park there in a little bit.
Because, like I said, it go like all these compound with the biggest problem this show has, which is you cannot condense 60 episodes. I don't know how many manga volumes this is, but you cannot condense that much in there and get a well-paced show with good character development. You may get like some slick action, but like there's Yu Yu Hakusho was more than just slick action. There was so much character development, so much character writing, you know, like those two examples with Genkai and Yusuke that we mentioned, like they just cut out so many of their pivotal moments. And then, you know, let's go ahead and talk about this next part. Yoko Kurama as well. Like,
I'm sitting there. Okay, so I'm watching these last three episodes on the plane going to Los Angeles. And I got to tell you, man, I was in the back of my mind hoping and praying we wouldn't get Yoko Kurama here and that Kurama could handle this without going into that form.
Oh, dude, as soon as I saw Kara Sue and we show up, I'm like, yeah, we're speedrunning Kurama's development as well.
Well, I thought, I was like, I hope we somehow end these fights on a stalemate and it's like some kind of big cliffhanger to indicate a season two type thing.
Right.
But no, they kill he goes Yoko, he does the fight, he gets knocked back like he did in the anime, and he uses the plant to basically implode Karasu.
Yeah, so they combine one of the deaths he does in the anime with Karasu's death. Like, Karasu's death is still via plant, it was just done differently.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was just... The other thing that the show kind of cuts out is they don't show the ruthlessness that Kurama has.
Yeah.
Because that, like, Kurama's character, you know, it's, you know, a little bit more feminine. It's supposed to, like, lull you into a sense of security. And then you find out he's, like, the most vicious, ruthless one of the group. And the show didn't do a good job of showing that at all, because he only had one fight. Technically two, if you're counting where he goes in and, like, helps kill the guards watching the three artifacts. But he only gets one fight.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're just like, oh, here's Yoko Kurama, and now he's gone.
Like, well, I mean, it's like, why have Yoko Kurama? That's like, okay, that's the equivalent of we make another live-action Dragon Ball Z, and Goku goes and fights somebody. He goes Super Saiyan for all of 5 minutes, and he goes back to normal and defeats the enemy. That's the same equivalence to me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it doesn't make sense. Like, it deprecates the value of Yoko Kurama.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, much like another thing that they goofed up on was the Dragon of the Darkness Flame.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he had it masked, or he used it, but the problem is then he's still fighting fine. Like, try not to get too angry at some of the stuff. It's hard not to.
Yeah.
It's hard not to. But it's one of those things where I'm like, aw, he just does the Dragon of the Darkness Flame, and now we're never going to see it again.
Well, I hope we can see it again, but I doubt we'll ever see it because I don't know. Like,
yeah. And then the one character who's my favorite character in Yu Yu Hakusho, who got shafted in terms of, like, their development the most, was Kuwabara.
Yeah.
Like, homeboy didn't even get, like, a major fight at all.
Like, I was kind of wondering about that. Like, dude, come on, give him something.
Like, he doesn't even kill the demon beast that's chasing them. He uses the spirit sword for, like, 10 minutes tops?
Less than that, but yeah.
You know, he cuts Elder Toguro and Elder... we'll talk about another thing I like here shortly. It goes hand in hand with the animation and the visual effects. But, you know, he doesn't get his moment to shine at all.
Do you remember, I think this is in the Dark Tournament in the anime,
mm-hmm.
where Kuwabara uses the spirit sword to basically skewer a couple of beings onto it at one time.
That was Saint Beast Dark. They're chasing him around, and he basically does the spirit sword onto one, and then they're all chasing him around in a circle.
Yep.
But he combines them together to get them stuck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I thought we would get something to that level with Kuwabara. Like, that was a fantastic, memorable moment for Kuwabara as a character.
Yeah. And he had so many of those. I know. There was a moment in the Dark Tournament where he's basically the last person of Team Urameshi who's not being held like captive and who hadn't lost in the fight. And so he volunteers after his body's just like basically been broken in the prior fight to go take on the leader of the team they're fighting, basically the last fight. And he like toughs it out, is like ready to like give his life, ready to beat it. Then he sees Yukina and, you know, love power kicks in into overdrive. But like, that's one of the best moments. You just see, holy shit, he does something. He does something memorable, badass. He has nothing like that here. Like, he gets so shafted.
Like, I at the end, I was like, okay, so I understand that Kuwabara was like Yusuke's rival / sidekick, depending on when in the anime we're talking about.
Oh, dude, he's Yusuke's best friend, and like
by the end of it, yeah.
Like the friendship, and that's the other thing that you kind of miss out on, like cutting down the Genkai tournament, cutting down Saint Beast, cutting down Rescue Yukina. Like, you don't see that friendship develop at all.
Yeah. I mean, you see veins of it. Like, you see it when Yusuke says, okay, I'm going to explain this to you over a bowl of ramen. But not really. Like, it doesn't have the same weight whatsoever. I mean,
like, they capture the one thing in that Kuwabara pushes Yusuke to be, like, somewhat better. We get, like, you know, when Kuwabara finally develops his sword, Yusuke's like, all right, I got to put more effort into my training. But, like, that's all you get. Like Kuwabara as a character, like, basically didn't really exist in this show.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm not going to go on a spiel about, like, Team Toguro didn't exist as characters either. Only two of them had any character to begin with. Which,
I mean,
brings up one of the best aspects, and also one of the creepiest, is like how good they did the CG for both Toguro brothers.
Oh, you mean like how Elder was kind of like latched onto Younger's back?
Just like how they got like Elder Toguro's creepiness of what he did to his body down great. Like, no matter how many times Kuwabara cut him up, he just like stitched himself back together. They even did the thing where he like moved his head throughout his body somewhere else. Like, the body horror was great in this show.
Yeah.
The Toguro brothers, I think, were done well. But
I mean, definitely Elder Toguro was like really menacing.
But again, they cut down on Toguro's past. Yeah. They cut down on his relationship that he had with Genkai. Mm-hmm. And so when that fight between them happens, they did like what to me is one of the biggest like movie TV show sense you could ever do. Which is where you imply, but you don't show anything.
Yeah.
You know, Toguro goes to confront Genkai in her compound for some odd reason. And then they cut away, continue on with the rest of the episode. They go back. Toguro is walking away from her dead body. Like, bruh.
There was nothing there.
You can't cut out that fight. Like, I understand. 5 episodes. But then don't make it 5 episodes.
It needs to be much more than that, but it's not. And that's the tragic part of all of this.
Mm-hmm. That, like, the production company, the directors have all come out and said, like, we weren't sure if we were even going to get, we didn't know how many episodes we're going to get. We don't know if we're going to get a second season. So that's why they went with the 5 episodes and they tried to get all the story beats in there they could.
Yeah.
Understandable. But to that point, I say, then don't adapt that much.
I mean, that's the problem, is that they could have just cut down and, you know, honestly, they said they brought up to Toguru and this story arc at all. They could have just ended with the 3 artifacts or something. That would have been fine.
I mean, honestly, the way they kind of condensed the 3 artifacts, you know, they probably could have done Genkai as one episode as well. And then basically, you don't necessarily have to do the Saint Beasts, because in the long term, they're not really all that important. The only thing that they served was to kind of show you the relationship of Team Urameshi and, you know, basically get them established as a group. You know, work out the quirks, reintroduce Hiei's new character, whatnot. Like, you could cut out Saint Beast. And yeah, you could make a 5-episode series with covering the entirety of the Spirit Detective arc, which goes all the way through, like, rescuing Yukina. Like, I think if they did rescue Yukina at the end, give them, like, a 6-episode, like, that's a... You can make 6 episodes, but, like, you can't fit in the entirety of the Dark Tournament in there as well.
Well, the problem with doing this the way they did, I mean, how many amazing characters did we miss out on seeing?
Yeah.
From the Dark Tournament? Because,
yeah,
I'll be honest with you, Miguel, like, some of those characters are some of my favorite across the entire show.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Like, I forget his name, the drunken guy? That guy, Chu, yeah, he's amazing.
Yeah, we get no Chu. We get no Jin.
Yeah.
You know, we don't get Suzuka. You know, you don't get, like, so many, you know, I think for a lot of people, we don't get the announcer girl. I can't remember her name.
There's
the Fox one. The Fox one.
Oh, okay.
You know, we don't get her. Like, they cut out on so many other characters.
And then, I mean, we didn't really get a tournament, really. No.
Now, and one other point I want to go to in terms of the negatives. The score sucked. The music was bad, man. It was generic.
It wasn't memorable. Like,
it was so generic. Like, man, the music was... Because I was, after I met up with a friend and was coming back home to get prepared for this, I was just, like, listening to some of the soundtrack, and I'm like, yeah, the score for the Netflix show was your typical generic Netflix score.
Yeah, it didn't have, like, the epicness that we got from the anime, because some of those really slapped, as the kids would say.
Yeah. Like... So, you didn't
get that hurt.
No, you didn't get the music that built the tension. You didn't get the action music. You know, you didn't get the desperation music. Like, you didn't get any of that. You just got, like, generic orchestra sound number 5.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, this is lame. Like, I knew we also weren't going to get, like, an opening and ending theme. And I was cool with that because I'm like, oh, it's fine. I did like that it popped up, though. That was nice. Yeah, at least they didn't forget about it. But, man, how much better would some of those fights have been with the updated score? Or the original score?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Or something that, you know, at least a good score that's not your generic orchestra music.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. you know, despite all these negatives, I'm still, to me, this is still like a 6 out of 10 show.
A 6 out of 10?
A 6 out of 10.
I would go with, I don't know if I can put a number on it, but I'd definitely give it a C.
C?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's kind of where I'm at on it as well in terms of the letter grade.
Yeah, like, I don't know if I'd go to 6 or 7 is my problem, right? Like, it, to
seven
me...
7 would be more, 7 would be like C plus, B minus range.
Yeah, I'd say it's more like a 6.5 in my book.
Yeah.
Because I was heavily influenced by the fight scenes and the choreography. But when you really stop and think about the anime and all the tension, all the story, all the character development we don't get, I mean, that's knocking off so many points. I mean, right. Why do we have to lose these points here, you know?
Right. And, like, that's what sucks, man. It's like watching the anime and watching some of the characterization. It's like if they were given more time to breathe, you know, more moments to, like, okay, relax, expand on this more, expand on Yusuke's character a bit more, expand on Kuwabara's character a bit more, expand on Hiei's character. Like, this speed running of the arcs basically, like, killed the character development that they may have been able to get. And because of that, so many of the best moments just, like, don't have the same impact that they should. Like, I should care more about Genkai's death, but it just happens. I should care more that Toguro is going to try to kill one of Yusuke's friends to get him more motivated. But I just...
You don't.
Don't, because, like, none of the characters are developed well enough for me to care about them. And the only reason I even care about them that much is because I've seen the original. And so I know what they're like. I already know what their quirks and their traits are, what their personalities are like. And this show is basically betting on the people who will watch this know this, so we can get by with just flashy action, which is... And I'm not saying flashy action as a bad thing, because it goes without saying, like, the action in this show is phenomenal. Like, it's really fun to watch.
It is. And that's part of it, is that, you know, we have this great story. I mean, it's not perfect by any means in the anime, but there's definitely a lot of good stuff in there that we're just missing out on.
Mm-hmm. And so many of these things just, like, get cut down to fit into a 5-episode series, which to me, it's like, it's within reach, it's there, it just falls a bit short because they're speed running through it. And it just sucks, because it's like, okay, these things that are supposed to be cool just happen, and, you know, you don't have any emotional attachment to it.
Yeah.
But.
And so, you know, looking at this, and I gotta ask, as a person who's never been a fan of One Piece, it's not that I'm not a fan of One Piece, it's I've never committed to watching, like, 900 plus episodes of an anime. It's
right.
Too much. Do they do a very similar thing there, where they condense stuff down to be much faster paced at the cost of character development?
Yeah. Okay. It's the same thing there, but, you know, I'm also someone who, like, I've seen One Piece, not all of it. You know, I know kind of the beats that go around in it. The only time I was, like, super into it was, like, early on, and when I stopped was, like, still fairly on in the series. Like, for people out there, for me it was, like, after Alabasta and Mr. Crocodile is when I stopped.
Mm-hmm.
But I know they cover about 40 episodes in the 8-episode one. They just condense, like, things into very similar to Yu Yu Hakusho, where they condense things into fewer episodes, but the characters are a bit more fleshed out there.
Yeah.
So they do something similar, but, you know, the characters, while still they aren't great, they're still more developed than what we got in Yu Yu Hakusho live action.
Okay.
But
yeah, that's what I was kind of expecting you to tell me. It just seems like that's the Netflix live action adaptation problem.
Right. Well, that's the problem when, you know, the Netflix model only allows for 10 episodes to be made like every 2 or 3 years.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to get a lot of money put into them, so they're going to look decently, but you're going to suffer. You're going to suffer in terms of pacing.
Yeah.
But and overall, were you going to add one more thing, Riz?
Yeah, I was going to say, that's the same problem that we see even in the non-anime adaptations, like the Cosmic Fury thing that they just put out on Netflix for Power Rangers. That suffered a lot from pacing as well.
Mm-hmm.
So no, it's definitely a problem with the model they're going with on Netflix right now. It works better for the original stuff. Like, I thought, you know, something like Stranger Things was handled pretty well, even across all 4 seasons so far.
Mm-hmm.
But when they start to adapt existing stuff, they start to lose some of the quality, I feel.
Right. But overall, like I said, 6 out of 10.
Yeah.
Is it a recommendation for you, though? Would you recommend this to fans and or non-fans?
I would recommend it to fans who have seen all 112 episodes in their life. I would say that you would get a lot of enjoyment out of seeing some of the stuff in live action form. And it is cool. Like, okay, I know we complained a lot about seeing Yoko Kurama and Hiei's dragon technique, but it was still cool to see those things happen in live action. The problem I have is the execution with it. So I think as a fan, it's cool, but also as a fan, we needed more development to happen. Now, for the non-fans who have never seen the anime, I think you would like it, but I think you may fall in our same category of like a C-tier grading. What do you think?
For me, it's like, as a fan, you're probably going to come away with mixed feelings, I feel like.
Mm-hmm.
Especially because some characters, again, they don't get the development that they need for their characters to work. You know, the action is really, really good, well executed. The characterization is not there. And so you'll come away mixed feelings. In terms of recommending it, I don't know if it'll make you a fan of... I don't know if it'll turn you on to the anime, but it's definitely worth the check out. It is only 5 episodes. I mean, they're about an hour long, but you know, you can spread that out throughout the week. So it's not a big time investment like some other shows are.
Yeah.
So worth the 7-week trial membership.
Well, among other stuff on Netflix, but
among other stuff on Netflix. Yeah. But that was our look at the Yu Yu Hakusho live action. Riz, tell the people what projects AAS has coming up.
Well, in the near term, we have a couple of voice actors I'm looking to get interviews with on the podcast. I'm not going to give any names right now, but we are in talks with at least one to bring them on maybe in the next month or so. And as I can get more figured out there, we're looking to bring them in. Also, I am planning to do a couple of anime reviews of some more recent anime that have been coming out on Crunchyroll in preparation for the next season of anime coming out starting in a couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm.
If you're interested in joining our podcast team for the anime division of Anime Secrets, hit us up on Discord or on one of our social medias. We're on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. So definitely hit us up if you're interested in joining us. We'd love to have more people to nerd out with.
Links will be in the description.
Yep. And we also will be doing more cosplay spotlights on here. So if you're a cosplayer, you're interested in getting your work promoted by us on a podcast, get your story out there. We have an amazing cosplayer by the name, that goes by Mutt's Hotness Cosplay. Still be running those interviews and getting your story out there and just talking to you. So, yeah, we've got a lot of plans for 2024. I know we've been kind of slowed down on that front for a while. But one of the new resolutions for Anime Secrets is to bring back a lot more of the anime content to keep our name relevant.
No, for sure. You know, I'm still waiting on other people to... yeah, give them a little bit longer. If not, I'll just end up doing like a self review of Boy and the Heron. That movie is phenomenal. Got potentially, hopefully, some video game stuff going out. My capture card is having some issues at the moment, which is why I haven't really done too much. I think I still have like some backlog footage of other games that I can put out. But once I get that figured out, I'll try to get some more video game reviews out there in terms of the video game front. So kind of be on the lookout for that. But as always, guys, thank you all so much for joining us. We'll catch you on the next one. For Riz, this is Miguel. Anime Secrets Declassified, signing out.